what's up? This is Josh from JustUsGeeks.com, and it's James' favorite time of the year. It's Christmas. This is episode 282 of the Just Us Geeks podcast. Having a Star Wars this week, so just a heads up, if you haven't seen Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, come back when you have. Or listen to it now. We're probably better than anyone. It's been so long since we've done an actual show that Logan got bumped to third chair. So, James, how's it going?
Hey.
There you go.
I hate this.
And a second chair?
No, the music.
Oh, it's because of Christmas. What do you think about it, Logan?
I like it. I like this music.
Is this Mannheim Steamroller?
No, it's Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. It's all the same.
No, they're not the same.
It's all crap Christmas.
Do you know what's weird? Is that sometimes the Trans-Siberian Orchestra has some like Christmas shoe sounding guys who sing with them.
Really?
They have a lead vocalist.
Huh.
It sounds really weird.
I would love to hear the Trans-Siberian Orchestra version of Christmas Shoes.
I'm sure there is one.
There's not.
I would pay them money to write that and do it.
They would just have to do it. It's already horribly written. James, you hate Christmas.
Yep.
It's that time of the year.
Yep.
But the year is almost over, but
yep.
It's...
then we get to look forward to Christmas next year. Yay.
You got a long time between you and it.
I know.
At least 365 days. So.
I can't wait.
Well, there'll probably be new Star Wars movies between then.
Oh, we got the Solo next May.
Riding Solo. Mm-hmm. Han Solo.
Just think,
Solo.
Christmas 2020 is still like 2 years away, so you're good.
Christmas 2020.
Yeah, 3 years, yeah.
Yeah.
What happened is Christmas 2020.
No, you can just say that one's far away.
Well, I mean...
That's one of
I
them.
Gotta
That's
deal
one
with
of
next...
them you don't have to worry about.
What, am I going to be dead?
No.
Oh.
it's so far away that... It doesn't matter.
That sounds horrible.
I think Logan thinks I'm going to be dead by 2020.
I don't like the sound of this.
I'm taking bets on Twitter, guys. You can just...
You know, I can hear you.
Even in both ears.
Yeah. Like loud as day.
It's taken forever to get this tech set up since it's been literally since
June
29th that we recorded an actual episode. But
crisp, clear audio.
He can still hear you.
Better than ever.
Good job. Yeah. Yep. You could have whispered this in the car, but you didn't. So.
No.
All right. Let's do what we came here to do.
Chew bubble gum?
No. Not really. No.
Kick butt?
No.
I'm all out of bubble gum.
I just farted, if that counts.
Yeah, I've been doing it, too.
Yeah, me too. It's the Mexicans.
I farted since I came in.
We had El Veracruz.
It's a good place.
I enjoyed it. It's my first time there.
He had the biggest burrito I've ever seen.
I ordered the burrito Tampico.
It did not come with that fruity drink on top
and
of it.
They come walking out of the kitchen with it, and I was like, that's not mine. And then they walked over to the table, and they're like, burrito Tampico? And they were like, no, not of us. And I was like, oh, my God, that's what I ordered. Oh, God, it's so big. And they just sat it down, and I literally just sat there and looked at it for 5 minutes because it was so big.
You didn't know where to start.
I didn't.
The table moved down some, too.
Oh, man.
It had some weight to it.
What was all in it?
Everything.
I got grilled chicken. Like, you can get grilled chicken or steak.
Yeah.
So I did grilled chicken. It had mushrooms. It had chorizo. It had potatoes. And it had refried beans.
So you had, like, literally everything in there. You were good to go.
Oh, and grilled onions and, I think, peppers.
Onions and peppers, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was delicious. I thought it was weird whenever I ordered it. It didn't like have a side of rice and beans. I was like, oh, well, I guess because the rice or the beans are in there. Yeah.
It's like, no, it's because
it was so big.
It's because it's huge. It's fun.
Huge.
Yeah.
I love this Star Wars music.
Yeah, it's great.
Star War.
Yeah.
Go watch Star War.
Something about space.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big time spoiler alert.
Oh, hey, get out the Mr. Worldwide for the spoiler alert.
Hold on.
I'll just wait a minute.
Yeah. I have to find it.
He's got to dig.
Got to get my ham horn out.
Yeah. Ham horn.
Mr. Spoil Wide.
There you go.
Spoilers.
There's a spoiler alert.
It's the actual alert.
Okay, go, Logan. Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Go. Let's talk about it. We're going to give a review. We're going to... Bing bong.
Bing bong.
We're break it down, what we liked, what we didn't like, everything. Go.
Do I have to go first?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Because I have rebuttals.
I'm sure you do. But
no, I really do.
I didn't enjoy this Star Wars movie at all.
Okay,
and
why not?
I'm getting there, man.
Getting there.
Quit wasting time, man. Get there.
It's not because it was so different or it was such a dramatic departure from the previous formula. That's fine. I thought The Force Awakens did have a problem with hitting the notes of A New Hope too much, but there was just too much in this one that seemed to poop on the everything that had been set up in The Force Awakens to make new plot points and expand upon.
Right, right.
Because
okay, pause. James, did you like Episode 7?
Yes.
You loved it, right?
Well, I mean, I liked it. I wouldn't say I loved it.
Logan, how did you feel about Episode 7?
I liked it a lot. Like, I didn't love it. It wasn't like a 9 out of 10 for me, obviously.
Okay,
but
here's a question. At the end of Episode 7, when we saw it, the audience applauded. Some folks stood up and applauded. Did you applaud, James?
No, but I don't applaud at movies.
I didn't know. I don't
they can't
anyway.
Hear you.
No one in our theater. I say that all the time. So
they can't hear you.
You know Carrie Fisher's dead, right?
Is she?
Yeah.
I saw her flying around in space. So
okay.
There's an answer for that. Anyway, so okay. So it's not. Maybe it's not an Episode 7 thing. It's not a comparison. Continue. James is opening
fruit snacks. He's opening his dinosaur-shaped fruit snacks over there.
Totally fine. Go.
But the last bag was all oranges, I'm not going to lie. I was kind of disappointed.
I ate one of them. I was pretty disappointed in them as well.
But there was just so much that they set up that I was starting to buy into that they just kind of threw out the door. I mean, they, for one, set up this massively emotional scene at the end of The Force Awakens that was Rey approaching Luke with this lightsaber and offering it to him. And that was the thing. That was the moment. And as soon as you get into The Last Jedi, Luke takes this lightsaber that's got so much history. It was his father's lightsaber.
Number one, it wasn't as soon as you get in. It was about 10 minutes
in. 10 minutes in, yeah.
It was the first time you see him.
Yeah.
Correct.
When they cut back, it cuts right back to that scene. And right. He takes this lightsaber that has so much history. His first lightsaber, his father's lightsaber.
Right.
This piece that is emotional to him and just chucks it over his shoulder. Physical gag style.
He had cut himself off from the Force and didn't want anything to do with it. He knew what she was there for. As soon as he brought that out, she brought that out, he knew that she was going to try to draw him back into all of it. He didn't want any part of it.
And yes, I acknowledge that, but that's a bad character decision for Luke Skywalker. That's my argument to it. It's not that that particular moment was bad for this particular character. It was that Luke Skywalker's entire character development for this movie just felt wrong. He was not heroic. I'm not the writer, obviously. Ryan Johnson is, but it just felt so out of sync with who he was in the first 4, 5, and 6. I mean,
look at the original movie, A New Hope, with Ben Kenobi living off by himself, and how he was kind of crotchety towards people. I mean, then you go to the prequel, and he was like, "Oh yeah, hey guys," and like bounding around and like had full of hope and all that stuff. It's years have passed. He's become a bitter old man.
And I understand that Ben Kenobi was crotchety, but Ben Kenobi was also like, yeah, the Jedi are real. This is an important thing for the universe. We need to get you trained, buddy. He wasn't like, man, I hate all of this and I'm going to go milk a sea cow and slosh it all over my face like a goblin.
Listen, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Oh, so bad.
It was pretty gross.
It was so bad.
It was gross, and it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and it was in a Star Wars movie. Give me a friggin' break.
Luke Skywalker, the man who converted Darth Vader back to the light side and pretty much defeated the Emperor, walks up to a space sea cow, milks it, and sloshes the milk in his face like some kind of goblin. No, that's not correct at all.
I will say this. Here's a quote from Mark Hamill, before we go any farther, after he had read the script for the film.
And this is a good defense for this whole...
Yeah, Mark Hamill told director Ryan Johnson, quote, "I pretty much fundamentally disagree with every choice you've made for this character, Luke Skywalker. Now, having said that, I've gotten it off my chest, and my job now is to take what you've created and do my best to realize your vision." Boy, A, is Mark Hamill not just like the best friggin' actor on earth, but that's what you're supposed to do as an actor. That's your job. Do your friggin' job. That's how how wonderful of him to be like, okay, Disney hired you to do this. I'm going with it. He did. He went right along with it.
But he at first said, like, I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Okay, you guys continue. I'm going to go get something for my face. Continue with your conversation.
Yeah, all right. Continue on, Logan.
Luke was probably one of my biggest problems with the film. His characterization felt wrong. I don't think that character would have been so affected by Kylo Ren being turned to the dark side, Ben Solo. I think he would have...
What is this?
I'm going to have to eat it, but... I don't know. That looks like a fish.
I don't know what it is. We're looking at
gummies. Oh, it's a cricket. It's a cricket.
Oh, okay. Okay, now I see it. Yeah. You can eat it if you want it.
I probably shouldn't have done that while I was talking. But no, it's... I don't think Luke wouldn't have given up on somebody that easy. Luke would have been more of the type, I think, to hunt down Snoke rather than just say, oh no, Ben's evil. I got to kill him now. Because he didn't give up on Darth freaking Vader.
Well, and he didn't, like, it was, they talk about that later on in the movie when he went in to kill, you know, and I'm doing air quotes, like everybody can see me.
Yeah.
But when he went in to kill Ben, you know, it was, he had a flash of basically he, like, fell to the dark side for a brief moment, realized what he was doing, and then was like, okay, no, I have no intention on killing him.
Yeah.
But what Kylo or Ben saw was that his master was about to kill him, and so he... brings the house down on him.
Yeah. But I think, and Luke even admits at that point, he knew that Snoke had gotten to him.
Right.
So I don't think Luke would have blamed himself at that point for the failure.
Well, I think he still would have blamed himself for not catching it sooner.
Like, I mean, he said he knew. He was like, yeah, I knew this. It was just, it, you know, too late.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I still didn't have an issue with that, like that part of the movie. I had no issue with him, you know, even...
I had an issue with how far...
thinking about killing him.
I had an issue with how far the character took damage from that. Hmm. Because, like I said, Luke Skywalker, the guy who converted Darth Vader back to the light side, I don't think would have given up on somebody that easy.
Well, I mean, you know, he... I was just, you know, I was saying that he fell to the dark side that one time, and then, you know, Kylo ran off and joined Snoke. And or actually, he didn't join Snug. I guess he joined the Knights of Ren.
No, but he like took 12 students supposedly. And
right.
But no, I just that just seems so out of character for what Luke Skywalker was and the history we had for him.
Just in general.
Yeah, it felt like.
Welcome back.
The whole
I was
movie,
listening to you guys backstage.
The whole movie felt like Rian Johnson went in and was like, okay, this is the way I think Star Wars should have been from the beginning, so we're just going to retcon a whole bunch of stuff and change it all, and this is my vision.
I knew he was going to do that.
I'm writing my fan fiction.
When it came out that the very first thing he did was, I don't like where J.J. Abrams had that scar.
Changing the scar.
And he moved it.
Yeah, that was I was talking to Josh about that, too, and I said the same exact thing, where he's like, the scar didn't work, we're going to move it. Okay, so you're violating continuity right away.
And, I mean... me and Josh were talking earlier. What he was trying to do was be unpredictable and do the exact opposite of everything that you would have seen in the Star Wars formula, but that became predictable by the end of the movie. You're like, oh, well, he should do this, so we know he's going to do this.
Yeah, and it felt cheap, too, because, like, yeah, I realized that it subverted all those fan theories
super
and everything.
Cheap, wasn't it? How much did it cost you to go?
He good for him for subverting all the fan theories, but you could have done it in a way that didn't make those fan theories, or I don't even care about the fan theories. You could have done it in a way that didn't just trash everything that had been set up in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Because, like, all right, Snoke's dead. I was just buying him as a cool villain. Like, he can force choke somebody from across the galaxy. Like, great. That's awesome. He's super cool. He gets killed by a dude manipulating a lightsaber in the same room as him. I don't buy it.
Well, Josh said that he doesn't think Snoke's dead.
They showed him
laying there with his tongue comically lolling out of his face, so...
Well, if you'll remember in episode 1, Darth Maul was split in two and dropped down a well.
His hatred kept him alive.
Yeah, they gave him robot legs and stuff, and he was back in the Clone Wars and in Rebels, I believe. He was in Rebels, too.
Yeah, but... I don't know. I just...
I'm with Josh. I don't really think Snoke's dead.
I feel like
honestly,
Kylo Ren would have like burned his body to make sure of that, though.
Do you think Kylo didn't want him to be a lot? Like, you think Kylo wanted him wants him dead?
Yeah, yeah. He wanted to take that seat of power to prove that he was no longer a boy in a mask. Like, I get that character arc, and I like that, but the just combined with other decisions. It is not great.
Like what?
Like to kill Snoke. I mean.
Oh, I thought you were talking about other decisions in the movie. I was like what?
I couldn't decide, and I know it was because of the way they were trying to play the plot. If in the moment Ren decided to kill Snoke to join, you know, to choose the light over the dark. In the moment, it certainly seemed that way.
What it seemed like to me, and he was like, I think he even talks about it to Rey, is that he wants to burn down both
both old orders, like, the first order and the resistance,
and like that, to me that makes him more of a like a gray, like a neutral Jedi.
Well, that was supposed to be like the point, was the establishment of there's no longer pure light side and pure dark side, just right. Two different ways to implement the Force, because the Sith are gone.
Yeah, because he wanted to take Rey and like rule the universe together
with her. Yeah,
like both of them, like he's more dark and she's more light, but you know they both could flirt with either side.
Yeah, it's his is more about control to keep people safe, and hers is more about freedom.
I mean, in the movie, like Rey goes to the dark side, sees what they have to offer, doesn't like it, and goes back to the light side.
Yeah,
like that. She literally. I mean, and what I had an issue with that whole thing is it only took like 5 minutes. So I was like,
yeah,
come on, give her a little more time in the dark side. But you know, whatever.
Well,
moving on.
Another part of that got me is when she goes to like she's meditating. And she sees the dark side.
Yeah.
And Luke's all like, I've seen this once before, and it's much too powerful, blah, blah, blah. And then he walks away, and then he's like, lesson two, 5 minutes later. There's no, he's still training her.
Yeah. Well, he was telling her, like, you didn't even attempt to resist it.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I just want to see what they got.
Mm, but
because I've heard for years they have cookies. I'm not sure. But
that was another issue that I had, where they're like, no, I'm not, Kylo Ren was the same way, blah, blah, blah. Lesson two.
Lesson two.
It really was like, lesson two.
What do you think about Porg?
Porgs were okay. I think if Porgs had been the only gag like in the movie, it would have been fine, but they were shoving jokes in so quick that Porgs got a little annoying.
They were everywhere.
They could have been more annoying, though.
If Porgs were just the only backdrop gag item, that's fine. They weren't integral to the story.
No.
They were just little background gags, and that was fun.
And apparently tasty.
Yeah. Yeah, Chewbacca does eat a pork.
Well, we never see him eat it.
Yeah. He's got him roasted, though.
Yeah, he does.
Delicious. But I was fine with Porgs.
They're meat.
What I was not fine with is the weird frog nuns that showed up out of nowhere.
Oh, the caretakers.
Yeah.
Well, they announced that, and it was like in Rolling Stone magazine like 3 months ago. They when they did a photo spread, they showed those the caretakers.
Yeah, but like they don't show up until after they've blown a hole in the side of one of the buildings. Yeah, I don't know. That felt weird.
You think they're changing Luke's diaper as well?
Maybe.
What are you talking about? Luke just sits in it.
Ugh. Apparently so.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, seeing as he's a goblin now, like
I'm Luke Skywalker. I don't know. Continue.
I mean, that's there's a lot of problems.
Give me another problem.
Oh, geez. The whole Canto Bite Finn Rose storyline is totally pointless.
Yeah, that was pointless.
It's like so pointless.
At the end of it, when they finally got to the point of it, I was like, okay, you could have trimmed like 20 minutes.
I guess they were trying to show Finn as a conflicted character, but I never believed Finn was a conflicted character.
Well, to me, like the next morning after I'd watched the movie, I was sitting there going, Finn has no story arc. He has no character development. And then I remembered, oh crap, this movie takes place the next day.
Yeah.
Of course he hasn't had time to have any character development, because normally, like I think before this movie, the shortest gap between was 2 years between movies.
Yeah.
And this movie like picks up minutes after The Force Awakens starts, and it's like 16 hours, I believe, is the amount of time, or maybe
it's
like
20 closer. Hours. This movie takes about 20 hours,
yeah,
I would say.
Because they have 16 hours of fuel.
18 is the first one you hear.
Yeah.
They hear 18, and
but
it's already.
You have to account for the bombing run and the escape plan.
Yeah.
So you say it's got about this movie takes place roughly in a day.
Yeah.
To me, this movie felt small. because of that. Like, yeah. Normally a Star Wars movie jumps from planet to planet to planet to planet, and they're going all over the galaxy. And this movie, two locations, basically. Well, three. You have the fleet, where they're at, yeah. the island, or the planet on the island of that planet.
Oxto, or whatever.
Where Luke is, yeah. and then on the planet with Rose and Finn.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's three locations. And then your final location at the end on the salt planet.
Yeah, which felt... Oh.
What, you didn't like the salt planet?
Tacked on. Like, that was just rolling the movie way too long, I felt. There was a lot more you could have put in the...
I thought the salt planet was good.
I thought it was cool. Like, it's a fine scene, but, like, it didn't feel appropriate in that point in the narrative.
It was a cool scene. I liked the salt planet.
But back to Finn and Rose, they tried to portray Finn as a conflicted character, but he wasn't. Like, he was just going to go find Rey. He fully intended to fight with the Resistance, I felt, the whole time.
He wasn't abandoning ship.
No.
He wasn't deserting, no.
And then,
he wanted to get away from the danger, so when Rey came back, it wouldn't be like, oh, crap, what if she gets shot and killed?
Yeah.
He was just trying to get her where she... Because she was coming back to that beacon. He wanted to have that beacon in a safe area.
Yes, he wanted her to be safe.
He wants to protect her.
Well, he understands that her importance, yeah. I think. You know, I mean, that's the way I read it.
But... that storyline to me, they bring in Benicio del Toro's character for some reason.
Who had a stutter.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's an odd choice. But
and apparently he had been working with the Empire since Canto Bight and like all this other stuff. And
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, because he gives Finn that information like, oh, they're selling arms to both sides. And that's supposed to like shock Finn or make him question his loyalties. And it really didn't.
Yeah. I don't know. That was kind of weird.
And then they don't accomplish their mission, the end there, so...
Well, it was an excuse to have Phasma come back, which was pointless. I'm so mad about that. I could have swore they told her she was going to have a bigger part in this movie. Like, Gwendolyn Christie was going to have a bigger part, and then she was, a five-minute scene, and I was like, come on, give her more, because she's so good.
She's a great actress. She has gotten shoehorned into this one stupid part that she cannot get out of now. She has to be dead now. She's not Boba Fett.
I don't know. They brought her back after Force Awakens. They just threw her down a garbage chute in Force Awakens.
I just got that now. I think they were setting her up to be Boba Fett.
Yes.
And people like her. Like, people like Captain Phasma.
She has the potential to be an awesome character. Yeah. She really does. She's got cool laser deflecting armor and like...
But she's not a Force user, and now we got Stable Boys using the Force.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, there's four sensitive people still. You can't believe that.
And plus, Rian Johnson has his own trilogy outside of the Skywalker saga.
He gets 10, 11, and 12.
No, they're not going to be numbered, I don't believe. He's just getting a separate trilogy. So that kid is probably going to be, like, the stable boy at the very end is probably going to be the focal point of the Rian Johnson trilogy.
Dumb.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. He's getting one.
Is he still getting one, though?
Yes. Kathleen Kennedy loves the Last Jedi.
Wow.
But, yeah, I even felt like the Stable Boy scene was fine to show, like, yeah, the Force is still present in this universe. Yeah. That was kind of cool to me, but you could have set it up better than the whole Canto Bight plot line to get there. Yeah. I mean, Rose's character was kind of pointless. They kind of trashed whatever relationship they were setting up between Finn and Rey with this whole movie.
Spoiler alert, didn't Rose die?
No, she was just unconscious. Because he was like tucking her in with the blanket or whatever.
Okay.
No, she's going to be a tag along for episode 9, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Nah.
Maybe not. I mean, how the hell are they going to write out Carrie Fisher?
Because you see,
there's going to have to be at least a 10-year jump. And I think that they're going to write her out in the opening crawl.
Yeah.
Because they've already
said... Leia Organa has passed on. The end.
They're going to have to because they've already said they will not use CG.
No, because of the backlash from Rogue One.
Yes.
But haven't they rewritten the story for episode 9? I would think
J.J. Abrams was currently writing the story.
Okay. Yeah. I would say that if she had not passed away, he could have gotten...
He turned in his script on Friday.
Whoa.
He turned in his script for it.
What a big day for Disney.
They've got, 2 years to shoot this movie.
Yeah.
Before this movie comes out.
I would say that if she hadn't passed... It probably would have been a continuance of the story.
Like if she hadn't passed away, they would have just picked right up and gone, maybe done a 1 or 2 year jump.
Oh, right, right.
Like a normal Star Wars jump. But I think, because they said that.
I didn't think about the opening crawl.
9 was going to be like, because 7 was Han Solo was the focal point, because they were picking original characters to be the focal points of each movie.
Yeah.
So 7 was Han. 8 was supposed to be Luke, which it was, and then 9 was supposed to be Leia's movie, and they're having to redo all that.
I legitimately think they should have flipped that because of her death.
Well, the movie had already been shot, so they couldn't.
They could have left her dying in space, which they should have, because the Superman scene was ridiculous.
Okay, here's my rebuttal.
James has a great argument for this.
Star Wars Rebels has already established that she can survive in space. Like, it is canon.
Really?
Yes. A friend of mine that from work, he loves Rebels. And I was complaining about that scene. He goes, dude, Rebels, like, episode, I can't remember where it was. He goes, they've already established she can survive in space. And she just force-pulled herself back to the ship.
Okay, but...
So there's
an explanation.
We've all known that she was force-sensitive.
Yeah, we've known
like,
that.
Known that for years. But so, apparently, she has, like, enough... will to be able to survive in space from it and to pull herself
without
in.
The context of Rebels,
yeah,
it's BS.
Right, yeah.
It is a giant pile of
BS.
But apparently,
most diehard Star Wars fans will watch Rebels and be like, okay, well, that's canon. And then you got people like us who don't watch Rebels, and we're like, well, but okay, whatever.
I guess that goes back to Disney's tendency of watch everything and read everything related to this.
Which is totally opposite of the Stan Lee approach, which I love.
The Stan Lee
stand alone.
Everything stand alone, and like the Star Wars is you have to read everything.
Well, I guess that contributes more to my Rian Johnson as a fanfic writer rather than a...
No, that was already established like 2 years ago in Rebels.
Yeah, but I mean like using that... really obscure piece feels way more fan fiction-y than...
I wonder what Carrie Fisher thought about episode 8. I haven't read anything about it.
Yeah, because like she had just finished shooting. She died like the day... Like,
she got
like,
off the set.
She was
leaving, wasn't she?
She was coming home from... They had finished up, you know, because everybody has... Every film does reshoots. Just not major ones like the Rogue One or the Han Solo movie. Like,
oh, is it had reshoots?
Dude, it had six
it
weeks of
directors,
reshoots.
Like,
remember they fired the
brothers because
it was too funny. Miller and Lord.
Yeah.
And they brought on Arrested Development.
Oh, that's right.
And so
I forgot about
that. They reshot. I'm sure there were rewrites, too.
I don't know what problems Disney had with it being too funny after watching The Last Jedi, though.
They, you have to get along with Kathleen Kennedy is the thing. Rian Johnson and Kathleen Kennedy got along great, and he took every note she had and ran with it. That's why she was like, you can have your own trilogy.
Mm.
So, and I like Rian Johnson. He's a good director. Looper is a great movie. Brick is fantastic. Like, if you've not seen Brick, it's a Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie.
Maybe he shouldn't have written this.
I don't think he should have written it, but I got...
But it's the precedent they set with J.J., though.
Yeah, I thought they would have Lawrence Kasdan write these movies, since he's still writing.
Yeah.
Like, he wrote the Han Solo movie. Why wouldn't you just have Lawrence Kasdan write these? Because he wrote, like, most of the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Logan said the other night that he wishes he would have seen Lucas's visions for 7, 8, and 9, because, you know, they were... real.
Yeah, they're done. Like,
yeah, I mean
Disney bought them. They just chose not to use
them. George Lucas told Mark Hamill, like, when they finished filming Return of the Jedi, be ready to come back in 20 years to do more of these when you're older. Like, that's...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I figure that episode 9 will fix any of the issues we have.
Well, one of the guys at work was talking to me about, he said, you know, this movie, Last Jedi, has the capability of being either one of the greatest Star Wars movies ever made or one of the worst. And it all depends on what J.J. Abrams does with 9. Because you can take, like, because there's some decent setup in this movie. Yeah, I mean, spoiler alert, Luke is dead, people. And, you know,
he tired from making his Force ghost.
Okay, now look at 30 years he's not used the Force for 30 years. Then he had to project his essence into everyone's mind, Rebels and First Order, because everyone saw him. And he had to do that across the galaxy. it took everything out of him. Plus, Snoke being dead, you know, you have to have, there's the balance. So the greatest dark side user was dead, so the greatest light side user will die as well.
But Rey's still alive.
Rey's not the greatest light side.
She's all Mary Sued into being the best Force user in the entire world now.
She's more gray. She's her own balance. Her and Kylo are their, like, her and Kylo are their balance.
Yeah.
Snoke and Luke are their, were a balance. And Snoke dying, you know, caused Luke to die.
Gosh, no.
Convoluted. He's used himself up. I mean,
I feel like that's another character issue that I had. Luke Skywalker would have lifted his X-Wing out of the ocean, flown there, and confronted Kylo Ren himself.
And then he would have died.
But that would have been way better than I got tired from doing a Force ghost.
You do it. Come on, Logan.
Let's see your Force ghost. You'll do it soon.
And then I just disappear.
Yeah.
He wasn't even real, ever.
And Logan was never real.
He Force farted himself into ghosting. Logan's essence hangs with us.
Shh, somebody open a window.
Jedi Master Logan Barnes force farted himself into the ethereal plane. General Leia Organa also passed away as a result.
Oh, also CGI puppet Yoda.
He was a puppet.
No, that was a CG'd puppet, buddy.
No, he was actually just a puppet.
No, he was not. It was a CG of a puppet.
It wasn't great. It was. Can I say this? And I've been very quiet for a lot of reasons. Here's the thing. I even said this out loud multiple times on Friday before going to, even after, you know, or Thursday. I guess it was the day that Disney announced its Fox deal. You know, I've said specifically about the Marvel franchises. Hey, look, Disney's so great, they buy these things, they turn them back over to the heads that were running them and say, you do your thing, we'll just be over here with our mouse in our corner making the money.
Yep.
That's not what they did with The Last Jedi.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what they did.
The Yoda thing was a fan service for Disney people.
I'm just saying, Kathleen Kennedy, who is running the Star Wars universe, you know, she worked with George Lucas for years, and Disney was like, she's the most feasible person to take over. You know, we'll let her run Lucasfilm. And so she, like Bob Iger has nothing to do with the Star Wars franchise. That's all Kathleen Kennedy. Every decision comes,
he just getting paid,
through her. Yeah. Like Bob Iger just, you know, like he's like, oh, go to the shareholders and be like, look how much money we made.
Yeah, right.
We had $105 million Friday night.
Jesus. That's, wow. Yeah. That is insane.
Broke $220 million, right? That was the final.
That is insane. That is insane.
Second highest opening box office
behind,
of all time.
Behind Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the only thing that's done more. I think it did like $115
million. It just felt very Disney-fied to me. I don't know. The tonal shift from episode 7 to 8, I think it's really going to catch people off guard.
Seven had jokes, but it felt serious overall. And this one just didn't feel like it took itself seriously at all.
No, I don't know. It's like James said, and I totally agree. It's going to depend on episode 9. It's all going to come down to it. I'm glad it's going back to J.J. Abrams. He's writing it. He's directing it. He should have done 8 as well. And my whole thing is, I'm thinking if J.J. Abrams writes and directs episode 8, we're extending Skywalker's saber to him, he doesn't take it and throw it over his shoulder. He just doesn't. I don't think that's what J.J. Abrams has him do.
I feel like he more would have taken it and been like, this isn't me anymore.
Yeah,
and
I'm
given
dead.
It back.
Like,
he wouldn't have
this.
Just been like, gobbled away.
I really felt, I really felt like at times Mark Hamill was more the Joker than he was Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, he really did have a lot of Joker stuff.
He phoned a lot of that in, I felt like. His performance overall was great, but I could tell that even just a little bit, he was not.
I got to say, as a major fan of the Star Wars franchise, as happy as I was at episode 7, even at the death of Han Solo, in the on-screen, you know, getting to see it again, and oh my God, it's Luke Skywalker, is this huge Star Wars fan, I gotta say I'm a little let down by Episode 8 and the performance, like what Luke Skywalker ends up being.
Yeah,
we have all of this, and then I feel like you let me down with what Luke Skywalker ended up being.
Don't get me wrong, there were some really beautiful scenes in this movie,
dude. Some of the I've said this multiple times, and I'll continue to say it. Snoke's throne room is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It's a gorgeous set.
It is the coolest thing I've ever seen, and it was practical.
Yeah.
Practical. And for me, that's why Episode 7 hit so well, because when BB-8 goes flying, when there's an explosion, when Rey and Finn are trying to get out,
they're throwing a BB-8
Jakku
puppet.
Yeah, BB-8, there's a real BB-8 rolling somewhere over there. This felt more like the prequels. There was more CG. And, you know, I mean, I guess it went with the storyline. I know that J.J. Abrams won't do that, so I'm fine with it. I just feel like, and I heard James say this to someone earlier today, episode 9, it's going to be a 3-hour movie.
Yeah,
they have so much
to
do.
To tie up some plot lines.
To tie up the whole entire Skywalker saga.
They do. They have to tie up everything. Yeah. And that's why I think you'll have a 10-year gap, because they can write a lot of that stuff out in the opening crawl.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's what they do. Like, I mean, go back and watch the original trilogy. There is stuff that you would be like, oh, they need to resolve this, and it's written in the crawl. You're like,
exactly.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, think about it like this. The first people to originally watch Star Wars, you know, Episode 4 is the first thing you see. What do you see? A crawl. And you're reading all this crap that's gone on.
It wasn't called Episode 4. It was
I mean, it's 4.
Star Wars.
So, you know, like, I'm fine with that. That makes perfect sense.
That's been there.
General Leia Organa has passed on. It's a great way to set up the story.
Even the gaps in the prequel movies.
Did you guys stick around until the credits started to roll and see their tribute to her?
Yeah, in memory of our princess.
Normally they just go in loving memory of, you know, like Carrie Fisher, but when they called her their princess, you're like, come on.
She's a freaking princess now. I mean.
And it just like, I like sat there, like started like welling up. I was like. She was so good.
I will say this. For that to be Carrie Fisher's curtain call. Hey, man. I'm great with it.
That last scene with her and Luke.
Yeah.
That was good.
I was freaking good.
So happy with that scene.
Yeah. I mean.
Like, just because you know that she's not going to be in another movie. That was it for her. And just that. That I loved it, like that last scene that she had with Mark Hamill. You just know that had to be like a really emotional day.
Because as Star Wars fans, that's what we've been waiting on.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, there was very, you know, like the Han and Leia moments in Episode 7 were friggin' great.
Right,
and you know, the sad thing is, it wasn't real for her.
Mm-mm.
You know, we'll never get to see any resolution to that, but. Nope. You know, I think Carrie Fisher was freaking fantastic. I wish that, in hindsight, I wish that they had been able to go back and, like, put her in Laura Dern's spot.
Yeah, I was not that big a fan of Laura Dern. And it's not that, you know, that part was bad. It's just I'm not a fan of her as an actor.
Okay, so that Lieutenant Holdo or Admiral Holdo, I had a lot of problems with her simply because it's like, oh, that's Admiral Holdo. We're all supposed to love her and know who she is automatically. What?
Who is that? Yeah.
And, like, it's detailed in the Leia book that they released before the movie came out, obviously, but that's another situation where it's like,
you have to read.
To know and love this character, I had to have read that.
Okay,
book.
Logan, is this a thing they're going to do to us now?
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, they've started doing it more with Marvel, where you have to watch and, like, get some of the extra information.
I was telling James the other day, I was like, James, it's a big mistake that I didn't watch Ragnarok. I can already tell.
Yeah.
After we watched the Infinity War trailer, I was like, oh,
I told him,
farts.
I said, I was going to text him because 9:40 was that Thursday night y'all were watching Star Wars. I should have gone and pulled him out because I found out that was the last showing of Thor.
No.
Yeah, we don't have it anymore, so he's got to go to Tupelo.
I should have gone to watch it, yeah.
You gotta go to.
It's worth a trip to Tupelo. I'll say that.
Yeah, it's not a. I can watch this on Vudu or something later. Yeah. I really don't think. And you know, okay, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that because do you know why? I'm invested. They know that all of us folks are so friggin' invested in Star Wars that we're going to do whatever it is we're going to do. For instance, one of the greatest video games of all time.
Knights of the Old Republic?
That's one of them.
Matrix Path of Neo?
No, that's not in the same.
Super Mario Brothers?
No, but it was on Nintendo 64.
Pod Racer.
Pod Racers.
Idiots.
That was a good game.
Shadows, it was a good game.
Shadows of the Empire.
Wow. Hey, Pod Racing 64 was actually a good game. You
shut up.
That's
the first N64 game I ever owned.
Shadows of the Empire. Great story. Great game. Nothing to do with the original franchise, like the original trilogy. People love that game.
Yeah.
They could at that point just be like, let me just drop this Star Wars game. Now, they started it with Episode 7. You want to find out what happened to that Star Cruiser on Jakku?
Yeah.
Guess what you got to do? You got to go play Battlefront.
But I feel like if they're going to do that, they need to just like let out a one sheet to the media that's like, all right, before you go see this movie, you need to read this book, play this game, and do this thing.
They're not going to.
Because like, it leaves you so open. Like
they're not going to. Think about it like this as well. Okay, since we're going back to the big picture, since Mickey Mouse is no longer just Darth Vader,
yeah,
but more like Palpatine, you know,
yeah, he is.
Hi
guys.
You know, what does this mean for
unlimited power?
What does this mean for the rest of the things that we love? You know, I think Logan, you said to me the other night, you weren't really okay with the fact that they now own Fox and ABC. I'm not either. You know, that makes me slightly uncomfortable.
That's more of a political concern than a media entertainment concern.
Well, but if you think about how they distribute their content, you know?
Well, I think they like one of the reasons they wanted to buy Fox was for a streaming content.
I agree.
Like, yeah. You know, they're in
well, now
what,
they have like
year.
Minor stake in Hulu too, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, am I okay with it? Because Louise Belcher is sort of, kind of, almost a Disney princess. Yeah, it's fine. But at the same time, like, I don't know, man. Like, the mouse has gotten just a little too big, and there's not anything we can do about it. So if we're going to want to continue to enjoy the content we want to enjoy, we're going to have to play ball. I'm just afraid that
I'm
afraid that there's going to be a lot that we're going to have to do as consumers to purposely get ready and fully understand that 10-year gap between episode 8 and 9.
I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that, but they just need to release guidelines for it.
But they don't have. They don't have to.
It's when a comic book series does an event, they're like, "All right, you need to read all of these issues. This contains the whole story."
Mm-hmm.
But they need to do that, so I don't
put together a trade paperback.
that'd be nice.
I don't need them to like. I don't need to go into episode 9 and be like, "Here's Admiral Knickknack. He was a great hero in the super battle 5 years ago."
Man, you know about Admiral Knickknack?
You gotta love Admiral Knickknack.
Great. Okay. So that's what Justin Thoreau was doing in episode 8,
yeah.
Just randomly.
He's Admiral Knickknack. Mark my words.
Wait, Justin Thoreau was in.
Justin Thoreau was the guy with
the rose pin.
Oh, that was him.
Yes, I was like, that's Justin Thoreau. Oh, wait, isn't Benicio del Toro supposed to be?
Balls. Never mind.
Yeah, with his little accent.
Stutter.
Oh, God, that was terrible.
Stutter Stanley.
I'm fine with seeing this movie again. I will say this, though. I probably will not do with this movie like I've done with Episode 7, which is like the other night. I was like, I just got a few minutes to sit here. It's on demand.
Yeah, I watched 7 the night before
I wish I had. I will say this. If you're going to go rewatch Episode 8, rewatch Episode 7 before you go into it because of that timeline.
Yeah, well, that's like going
also
to
read
see...
four books before you go back.
Well, no, that's like...
not going to tell me who General Snoke is or who Rey's real parents are. That doesn't matter.
I was going to say, that's like going to see or going to... I've lost my dead gum train of thought because you were talking.
Sorry.
Never mind. I'll shut up.
I think that's another big problem that I had with it. He was so very proud of his, I made these points not matter, they're not big questions. But to me, across a sequel, that's bad writing. When you set these questions up and leave them in people's minds to keep them excited... and you purposefully don't give them satisfying answers, you just throw them out like they're nothing, that's...
Well, like the whole thing about Rey's parentage, you know, I don't think that it is that they're just junkers, because when she was in that pit... Like,
oh, I think Rian Johnson meant for it to be that way. I think Rian Johnson wanted to take the idea of her parents, throw it back in the internet's face, and stomp his boot on it.
Wow, tell us how you really feel.
But I think J.J. Abrams is going to have to bring it back as a lie.
No, just if you watch that scene where, you know, she's like, she says, like, who are you, when she's looking in the mirror or whatever, when the shadow is walking forward, it's somebody different, and then it morphs into her.
No, it's two people that, like, fuse together, and I think that was to show that she's who she needs. It was another, like, the dark side does not have the answers she seeks.
Sorry, that was just the really confusing scene.
Yeah.
I have a great understanding of Twin Peaks The Return, but I sat there and was like, the hell is this? I mean, come on.
I was
really sleepy, too.
Long, drawn-out scene. Nowhere near as cool as the Luke goes into the cave thing. Because that was what that scene was supposed to be.
And that's what it ended up being.
Yeah.
Luke goes into the cave.
But now, I think Rian Johnson subverted that as hard as he could on purpose, because so many people were making a big deal of it.
I agree.
Same way with the murdering Snoke. Like, you're so curious about who this guy is? It's like...
Doesn't matter.
It was like cutting a promo with The Rock. But who's Supreme Leader? It doesn't matter who Supreme Leader Snoke is.
I don't know.
Why gotta be like that?
That's the way it felt to me.
I feel like we'll eventually... I don't know.
We'll get a Snoke book. I mean, we'll have to.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if we would get like a Snoke... like spinoff movie or something, because there's got to be so much to that character.
He is not anymore.
He is the most powerful Force user we have ever seen up to that point.
I mean, because
I want a backstory on Snoke.
When
how did his face get caved in?
Well, like when he grabs Hux and slams him down, like
from across the galaxy.
Everybody in that theater went
whoa.
It was like whoa. You see, the Gov went. Dude, I was like, yeah, dude. That's
when I started buying Snoke as a villain. I didn't much care for him in The Force Awakens because he was too vague.
He was just a hologram, and everybody was like, he's that big. I'm like, no, it's a hologram.
It's a hologram, you idiot.
But like when he came back in this one and he was like doing those insane Force things, I was really behind him.
Yeah, although I wondered why we didn't see any of that in Episode 7.
I farted.
Okay, I'll
he had no real reason to in 7. No. He was only talking to Kylo Ren, so I don't think he would have like force slammed Kylo Ren.
No, he wouldn't have force slammed Kylo Ren.
What did you think about his guards?
I do not think that they're the Knights of Ren.
They aren't.
They're not the Knights of Ren.
They're Snoke's Supreme Guard or whatever.
But their weapons were pretty freaking
that,
cool.
That's the destruction
that
of his
temple. That was a cool
scene.
Yeah.
Like
that whole scene was just
awesome. it was the only real lightsaber fight
in the
whole
movie.
Thing.
Yeah.
Well, see, Rogue One showed that you can do a Star Wars movie and not spark a lightsaber until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, but when you come in and do the mainline movie, I want a lightsaber fighter.
I know,
too.
But I'm just saying, like, you don't like go back and look at what was it, like 4, the original? Like, there's not a whole lot of lightsabers in it.
Yeah, I know, but
it's because I don't think they really know what they were doing.
Yeah. Then. And also, were the sounds off to you on the lightsabers? Luke's lightsaber, the blue one, sounded way too high pitched to me.
I don't remember what.
Yeah, man,
like
it sounded way off to me, and I don't. It could have just been my ears that night, but
I don't know.
That's a nitpick. It did not affect my score. It did not affect the score.
The destruction of Snoke's throne room, I thought, was incredible. My real issue after that was it was like, okay, why are they still co-parenting the First Order? Yeah. Kylo Ren should go and kill Hux.
And his delivery of her parent lines where he's like, they were nobodies. They didn't matter. Your parents.
I will say this. The whole force face.
Thanks, Adam.
That's what it sounded like to me.
The whole force FaceTiming with Kylo Ren and Rey. It was bad filmography.
Yeah.
It was like bad shooting, bad editing. Every bit of it was just...
A collection of movies.
Okay, well, it was bad filming is what it was.
Cinematography?
That's the one I'm thinking for. And it was that bad, I didn't know the word. That's how bad it was.
But those scenes, the conversations between them were okay. It was just shot weird, and they still put a joke in one of them where you need to put on a towel, please.
I don't have as many issues with this movie as you guys do.
I may not on my second watch through, but I will tell you
there were better ways to do that narrative, force texting.
Yeah, well, not just that. I was talking about like just in general, like the movie as a whole. Like, yeah, it could have been trimmed up and been made 2 hours and
could have cut the
minutes.
Whole Canto Bite story out and replaced it with something else.
I mean, because. The end of it, the resolution of that storyline, you're like, okay, well, that has its place, but you can cut out a lot of it to get to it.
Yeah.
And you could have trimmed out a lot of the stuff on the planet with them.
Finn had no character arc.
I got to just say, I really thought we were going to get more Finn and Rey together. And I really wanted that.
No, I hope we get it in the ninth.
They're
one.
Pushing well, Finn and Rose now because you saw Rey looking all disappointed.
Do you think that in episode 7 they set Finn up to possibly be a Jedi?
I feel like a little bit that they were leaning towards.
That he was force sensitive? Because my whole thing is, okay, so they're going to have to defeat Kyle. At the end of episode 7, you're like, okay.
Well, the reason that you think that is because no person who's like no non-Jedi has ever sparked a lightsaber in the entire series.
It was the fact that he effectively used it.
Yes.
That was the thing.
Well, but he also, a stormtrooper, trained with weaponry. But my whole thing is, okay, so at the end of episode 7, you're like, holy crap. In order to defeat, you know, Kylo Ren, Supreme Leader Snoke, and the First Order, Rey cannot possibly do it alone. She's going to need another Jedi.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to go get Luke Skywalker. Okay.
Yeah.
I did not assume that Luke Skywalker would make it through episode 8.
No, I didn't.
I thought that there's no way he's going to make it through episode 8. But I did think at the end of episode 8, we were going to get the understanding that Finn was actually a Jedi. And now all I feel like is that Finn can't drive a freaking sand speeder worth flip and has some crush on some random girl.
He was doing okay. He was going to, you know, sacrifice himself.
Yeah.
She was all like, I'm going to save you.
He barely even beat Phasma again. I mean, there was nothing.
Finn was easily my favorite character from The Force Awakens. He was.
And he was easily my worst favorite character in this movie.
He just didn't have anything in this one to build on.
At the end of this, I really felt bad for John Boyega, who got so thrust into stardom with episode 7.
Yeah.
We know Pacific Rim 2 going to be a bomb. Going to be garbage. He's about to have a bad couple of years. And I hope that in episode 9, he is redeemed.
It just felt to me like Finn and Rose's storyline was there to feed Poe's character arc more than give them their own character arc.
Yeah, I really didn't expect Poe to have as much screen time this time.
Me either. And going back and watching through episode 7, I realized I was like, oh, Poe Dameron was not in it very much.
Ooh, he was not.
Guess what? I'm going to go with John Boyega over Oscar Isaacs anytime. John Boyega is a better actor.
Yeah.
They picked the wrong character to focus their efforts around.
Yeah,
I don't think that like audiences now are as enamored with like the Rogue Squadron and that aspect of the rebellion.
I mean, there was only one good dogfight in this movie too. I mean, it was more about his skills as a leader than his skills as a pilot,
which were not great.
Was Greg Grunberg in this movie? I didn't see him.
He wasn't.
No,
because Grunberg was not in this film.
There was one chunky
dude that got. Yeah,
we called him. Yeah. Porks
too.
No, it wasn't Porkins because there was like this Porkins. Then Grunberg, we called him Bacon.
Bacon. Yeah.
And then we called this guy Bacon Bits.
He was not Grunberg.
Got roasted immediately.
Well, and he just died instantly.
We know.
And of course, there was also a First Order fat guy, and we called him Imperial Bacon.
Oh, there was one, wasn't there? Well, we know because we had a great conversation with Greg Grunberg at Lexington Comic and Toy Convention that he is personal friends with J.J. Abrams. J.J. is the reason he was in Force.
He'll
be back in 9. Maybe he'll save the day in 9.
That'd be great.
Oh, and apparently C-3PO's arm was replaced with a gold one by the end of The Force Awakens. I just didn't notice.
I didn't notice it either.
I didn't know. I didn't notice that in the end.
Yeah, apparently that's the case. Like, going back and reading all the comments and justifications for some of the stuff in The Last Jedi.
Oh, look, there's 3PO and that stupid red arm is gone.
There was a line in Force Awakens where he says, oh, I must get my original arm back. I'm tired of explaining this. Like, that's a line in the movie, but I never saw him get the original arm back.
It was a comic book that explained how he got that arm.
Yes, it was all a setup to get you to buy the comics, which is fun.
Well, I wouldn't do it anyway.
James, you've seen the movie twice.
I know. I've only seen it once.
You've only seen it once. Okay.
I'm going this week with my dad. We're gonna go and watch it in 3D.
Cool.
I'm okay with watching it again.
Tell me how the Luke Skywalker milking scene is in 3D.
Yeah, man.
Just flying
shoot
all
that
everywhere.
Milk right out of my face. Like,
slosh it open.
Tell me if the fish that he catches is bigger.
I think that's just a scale issue. The post was so tall you didn't.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, on where do you rank this movie in Star Wars canon, James?
Let's see.
Out of the seven, which were
out of the,
where you,
okay, out of the seven like main films. Well, there's eight main films.
Yeah, eight main films.
Let's see. Well, because the prequel trilogy is always at the bottom. Always. Yeah. Empire, New Hope. Empire, New Hope. I mean, I like
Are we counting Rogue One in this?
Rogue One, yeah, absolutely.
Well, if you do, like...
It is canon, and it's a...
Rogue One's fantastic, and it ages well. Like, the more, like you mm-hmm. like watch it again, and you're like, God, this movie's so good.
I think it has to count because it...
It felt most like the old Star Wars movie.
Yes.
And they tried for that, and it felt really good.
And
they even used old footage.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and for the fact that, for reasons like that... And where it is in the timeline, and that it directly affects the net, you know, like it affects episode four.
And very literally, few jokes.
You can
very
literally pop jokes. It in, watch it when the credits start rolling, take it out, put in A New Hope, and like,
bam,
boom, right there you go.
Like, I told somebody, they were like, well, yeah, is that how, like, how would you watch it? And I said, you can, this movie, you can skip the opening crawl,
just go
of A New Hope because.
It tells you what they're doing.
Like you just watched what they did in the crawl.
Yes. Yes. Which is how those movies need to be.
I would rank this one like fifth, I guess. Because the
So just above the prequel trilogy?
Yeah, that's where I'm going to put it to.
Dead last for me. I enjoyed the lore that the prequel trilogy's brought us.
Man,
I have zero problems with midichlorians.
I have so many issues with movies that are about trade agreements and nothing happening.
Yeah, but the lightsaber fights were way cooler. The Battle of Geonosis in Episode 2 was way cooler than
okay,
that
like the lightsaber
Walters would tell you that Episode 2 is the absolute worst.
Yeah.
No, I don't disagree. But like the fact that those lightsaber fights were pretty cool. I mean, the Phantom Menace... It still holds a special place in my heart.
Not as bad as everybody makes it out to be. I'm sorry.
It's really not because freaking Qui-Gon Jinn, man.
Okay, but that kid.
He's the worst.
He's a kid.
He's horrible.
He is
he's
a kid.
He is the worst. He is the worst. That kid is the worst. Probably not as bad as Rian Johnson's kid for whatever new trilogy is going to do. He's
you know, you've also got, you know, the in 2 and 3, you know, I hate sand. It's everywhere.
Oh my God. The best part about 3...
At least we don't have him in these movies.
I'm surprised...
Can we get Laura Dern instead?
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't seen...
Not anymore. She dead.
I'm really surprised we have not seen Force Ghost Hayden Christensen yet.
And we won't.
Now, we're more likely to see Force Ghost Ewan McGregor if we're going to see
him. I freaking hope so. I really...
We saw Force Ghost CG Puppet Yoda.
See, like...
That would have been a great time for Force Ghost
Ewan
Obi-Wan.
McGregor, yeah.
Yeah.
I really think that Ewan McGregor is going to have... some part in it, because number one, I think he signed on for a Ben Kenobi movie,
which will be awesome, I think.
And
he was great.
A great Ben Kenobi.
He was.
But like if you go back and you watch The Force Awakens, when Rey touches that lightsaber,
you hear Ewan McGregor
Alec Guinness. The very first thing you hear is Alec Guinness saying Rey, and it's from
they
like,
cut they, out when he said afraid.
Yeah,
and they cut Rey.
They
out
cut
of
Rey out of it, and he goes. So you hear Rey. And then the very last thing you hear is Ewan McGregor saying, these are your first steps.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that Obi-Wan has something to do with this. Like, you wouldn't use...
Her parents are not freaking junkers.
Why would Anakin's lightsaber give her Obi-Wan visions?
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. She is not a junker's kid.
No. No, and, she can't be a junker's kid. And
I mean, it could be just
fanboy theories and stuff. Yeah. But I think J.J. set that up to be...
He
something
did.
Else.
And he can fix that.
Well,
he can fix that.
Ray, your parents were junkers. They were junkers, Ray. They sold you for alcohol and left you there, Ray.
He did say it like that.
Adam Driver, ladies and gentlemen.
I was a Marine.
Thanks, guys.
I'm very moody. He was very moody. I don't know. Logan, where do you put it? Dead last?
Dead last, easy.
Dead last.
Sorry.
I don't know that it can be dead last. It's... The Phantom Menace was better than
the prequel trilogies. So
the holiday special.
That doesn't count.
Oh, it counts. It's canon.
It's below the holiday special.
Whoa! Because that's what Garrett wanted me to ask you when I said, Logan hated it.
Below the holiday special.
Wait, worse than the holiday special?
Yes.
I don't know. Is it canon because it got retconned into non-existence?
Boba Fett is from the holiday special.
That's, where he premiered. Because they were selling a toy.
That's true.
Kenner was selling a toy between the movies.
So if you want Boba Fett, you got to have the holiday special.
We could do without Boba Fett, though. Like, he has no character development.
There are so many people that would disagree with you.
Yeah, he has a lot of character. People like him, but if you're he has no character.
I've seen 4, 5, and 6, and Boba Fett is my favorite character. Like, no.
Oh, come on. No way. I mean, like, even with the crap they tried to do with him in the prequel, no.
He was fine in the prequels. Like, Jango Fett was all right because he had a little more character development and reasoning at that
point.
He had
no character development. He was like, well, I sell him a sperm. They make clones of me.
I do like the fact that Kylo Ren continually brings up clone armies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I mean,
I really hope they bring back the clone armies.
I think they will in episode 9 because...
Like he's going to disband the First Order and he's going to bring back the clone army. I think so.
I'm with you because I think that he is going to make his use of Hux.
Well, and you can look at he'll continue to go back to FN to whatever Finn is, whatever his number is, and be like, look, we can't control him because look at you have this guy, he's a nobody, and now he's joined the like, he's with the Resistance.
If I was J.J. Abrams, the way that I would end the Skywalker trilogy is. Pretty easy. I would convert Rey, and there the light side would be gone. There's no way that they can bring this back around. No, not with this story.
That's a stupid ending. Josh never read anything.
Well, no, I think so.
During seven, I thought that there was hope for Kylo to become good,
but he has to.
I don't know. I don't think after this movie, I don't think you can bring him back.
The lesson is gonna be you have to exterminate the dark side. Yeah.
Like I think that, I don't think that he will be redeemed. I do not think that Kylo will be redeemed.
They're trying to shift away from the idea of a light side and a dark side. Honestly,
oh my God.
That the Force is just the Force.
But in this movie,
it's the application that makes it.
In this movie, we see clearly that every time there is an imbalance to the Force,
it'll rectify.
It rectifies itself.
So, yeah, if two gray Jedi murder each other, then there's no imbalance.
But she's not gray, I don't think. And I think
she is. I think she's going to be gray because she can flirt with the dark side and not like be taken over by it. I mean, she went into like where the dark
side
is.
She went into a hole in the ground, James, and it was a funhouse mirror.
It looked like a butthole.
PSA, folks, if your butthole looks like that, yeah. Go to the doctor
and shave it.
And again,
was that hair?
Yeah, that was hair.
we'll go back to the Rebels series. Ahsoka Tano from the Clone Wars series comes back as a really powerful gray Jedi.
Yeah, she's Fulcrum, isn't she? Yeah. When she comes back.
Oh, I didn't realize.
I liked Ahsoka Tano.
Her character got way better over the years, and her book is really good too. You need to read her book if you get a chance.
Like the movie, the Clone Wars movie that launched that series was. I watched that. And I was like, this is. Well, number one, it's weird seeing the Star Wars logo on a Warner Brothers movie,
right?
and then I was like, she's kind of annoying.
Her character grows,
but she gets so much. Like her character. She had such a good character arc. You love that character,
and then she comes back in Rebels, and you're like, oh my God, she's even better.
Huh? Interesting.
She's like one of the few people that Darth Vader just spares because of their relationship.
Final thoughts on The Last Jedi?
Bad.
Enjoyed it.
I'm looking forward to watching it one more time.
Yeah, I really want to watch it again.
Hadn't done this in a while.
No, we haven't.
Apps of the week.
No, James, what's your jam this week?
No. I'm on vacation. Yeah, that's my jam.
That's a good jam.
I'm on vacation.
That's a good old jam.
I ain't gotta go to work.
Logan, what's your jam?
My jam this week. Went and saw The Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good James Franco movie. They did a good job of recreating probably what that experience was like for people on that set.
Hi, Mark.
And he was fantastic. James Franco did a great job as Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
And like all the other actors that they played, like the lady who played Lisa, and they did side-by-sides at the end of the movie before the credits, showing scenes that they had reshot.
Of the room.
And the original scenes, and it was brilliant. It was, they were so spot on with it.
Wow.
So I really it increased my faith that they told this story appropriately.
Interesting. There's a little bit of Oscar buzz for him.
Well, why so? I didn't think why so was a fan.
Oh no, he was fine with it.
He was fine with it.
He said he was proud of the James Franco's performance.
Okay.
Yeah. That dude's crazy. He is crazy.
Oh, and they
tell him, Steve, Dave. They were talking about how like Brian Johnson has met him a few times.
Really?
Yeah. Like when the Stash was out in L.A.
Oh, yeah.
And Brian writes. He's a writer. And he was talking about some movie and like why so was there at a bar. And he was like, oh, I have access to cameras. We can make this. Like he was trying to get Brian Johnson to write a movie for him. Like, and Brian was like, no, dude, I've seen The Room.
Yeah, because like...
Oh, my God.
Tommy goes to this production company, and they're like, how long do you need to rent the cameras for? And he's like, no, I want to buy them. So he buys an HD camera and a 35mm film camera, and the movie is shot in both at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where did he get the money?
It had a budget of $6 million, and he financed it himself entirely.
But he's got money.
But how?
That nobody really knows the truth.
What?
He apparently, like, the leading theory is that he actually ended up earning enough money after he immigrated over to buy property, did some property investing, and he sold miscut jeans, like jeans that were just slightly off they couldn't put in a store, but he could sell. And he, like, resold stuff. And made just a ton of money off his property management and reselling. And imported leather jackets.
What?
Yeah.
That dude is insane. That dude is insane.
Nobody knows where he's really from. Nobody knows his actual age.
Perfect character for James Franco. And apparently he nails it, right?
He does. He nails it.
That's insane.
It doesn't feel like James Franco playing a character. It's like, this is a believable.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Because he gets the eye right. The weird eye.
Oh, man. The Room is so bad.
Yeah, it's a horrible movie.
No, dude, I've seen The Room.
I know.
Oh, that's amazing. That's such Brian Johnson. That's so much Brian Johnson.
I have access to cameras.
I have access to cameras. We couldn't make it.
No, dude.
No, dude, I've seen The Room.
I bet that dude is so mad.
Apparently him and...
Well, it's like, you know, he's buddies with Kevin Smith. If he was going to make a movie, wouldn't he let Kevin Smith make it?
Yes.
And this is after Brian Johnson had already made a movie for Lionsgate.
Yeah, right. No, dude.
But
it's cool, man.
Tommy and his best friend Greg, who was in The Room.
Oh, hi, Greg.
Yeah. apparently they've worked on another film called Best Friends with the R in parentheses, so it's Best Fiends as well. It's supposed to be releasing sometime. I don't know if it's out yet or not.
I can't wait.
I hope not.
I can't wait.
I don't think it'll be near as good as The Room because The Room was meant to be a legitimate film and it just failed at it.
No, but I think this will make a butt ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good job, Franco.
What's your jam, Josh?
That A Christmas Story is over.
Yay!
Hooray!
Yeah, I threw my last child down the slide today, and it was great.
Oh, my God. When the scene started, he had Lou in his arms.
Just shaking
her. And he was just shaking the crap out of her.
It was great.
I thought she was going to cry. Like, she had the look on her face like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I told her, I was like, hey, hold on for a minute. Oh, oh, oh. There was like one.
He was the worst Santa Claus. It was amazing.
Yeah, today, like this, one of the little girls, I was like, "What do you want for Christmas, little girl?" And I leaned over and she whispered, "I want a whole bunch of gummy bears." I went, "Oh no!" And like kicked her down the slide.
Oh my God,
it was freaking great, Randy. I just kind of dropped her and like pushed her and walked away. It was freaking great. We had a great audience today. It wasn't me. It was Santa.
It was a good show.
Yeah, it's like Josh. Like it wasn't me.
Yeah, there's this dude that Ava's like somewhat interested in that came to watch the show today. And he was like, were you the one that was Santa Claus? I was like, no, I wasn't. But if you touch my stepdaughter, I'll kill you.
Yep.
He got a little scared.
Santa played himself in this show, right? That's what the program said.
Yes, he did. Yeah. So that means that Santa's
a jerk.
Yeah. Santa's a real jerk.
Santa will have to.
Oh, hey, yeah. The audience now has to know that I watched A Christmas Story because the bylaws state that I have to see it.
Oh, you finally watched it?
I've seen the play. I've still not ever seen the movie.
And I noticed that he did not go to sleep.
I tried. Oh, my God. I tried. But every once in a while.
Oh, my God. Did he try?
I did. David would like walk down like past the aisle, and he'd like hit me, make sure that I was awake. Like he legitimately walked by me like.
That's funny.
It's freaking great, I think.
So I had to stay awake.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun.
No, I just bisected you with a lightsaber, James. You didn't even see that coming. You most powerful force user in the entire universe. I tricked you.
That's fine.
It's fine.
I'll be back.
Will you?
Yeah.
I don't know that you will be. So, I mean, you can, you know, it's fine. You'll be back. All right, so next week we'll give you a Christmas episode.
No, we won't.
Yeah, we will.
No, we won't.
Christmas time.
Shut up.
Is
we
here.
Have to. Shut up. I'm going to unhook your microphone.
All right, so next week for 283. Oh. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little Christmas thing.
Stupid Christmas.
Not even just like a little bit of love for Christmas. Could you not find any joy of my portrayal of Santa and how he felt about Christmas?
No.
Okay. I'm not asking you to sing it. Because
you represented Christmas.
Badly.
Yeah.
I mean, bad Santa's a thing.
Yeah. Still Christmas.
That's a Christmas that you could connect with.
What, getting drunk and robbing people?
Yeah, James.
No, I'm like,
I don't rob people.
No, like bad kicking kids down a slide Santa.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Bad Santa, the movie.
No, not the Bad Santa. I mean, Christmas in other countries is used to terrify children.
Yeah, it is.
And trick them.
The Krampus.
They eat KFC in Japan.
I know, I got that right. When we won trivia.
Yeah, you guys did beat.
Cinnamon bun.
All the other teams.
Sniffing. Mother huggers. We did. It was great.
Cinnamon bun sniffing mother huggers?
Yeah.
What?
From the play. There's no profanity in the
Nobody
play.
Nobody knew who produced the Star Wars figures. That made me sad.
It was Kenner.
It was Kenner.
I felt really dumb. All right. Go over to Facebook, facebook.com/justusgeeks. Give us a like over there. Follow us on
like
Twitter.
Like Logan's picture.
Yeah. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Chewbacca dies. We made people mad with that. That was great. And then we posted weird photos of each other. So, the one with you.
Yeah.
In the
thing.
Burger hat.
I look high in that photo. I was just tired.
You were high.
He was really tired.
It was we had driven in from Louisiana, like into Louisiana.
Yeah. We're still unsure of where we were staying because of bad management. And
we were all really tired.
Yeah, we were really tired. Oh, no. That was the time that we had to go do all that setup work because nobody was there to do it.
Yeah, and we didn't get out and we had to get like snacks and dinner and all kinds of stuff.
And it was snacks.
No, not these snacks because there was no air upstairs in this thing. It was really bad.
Warriors, come out to play.
That's enough for that.
I just remember that stupid commercial for the video game.
Yeah.
But it starts with that.
No. Oh, I thought he said something else. I was like, what version of Christmas shoes is this? The best one.
MF Christmas.
Body shoes. For my mama, please.
Christmas shoes.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
What?
Emily loves this song.
Did you tell him what they did on Friday night?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It was great.
This is her favorite Christmas song in the
Max
whole
played it
everybody.
For curtain call today.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. That was great. It's on the Facebook video.
I bet she was furious.
She was not happy. But that's life. All right. See you next week.
I guess.
For we will. We'll be back next week for another episode.
Christmas.
Yeah, we'll see you on, like, Friday, maybe.
Good night, everybody.
You don't get to say that. He tells us.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening, you idiots.
Good night, everybody.
What Christmas is all about. Something about penises. I've got a giant penis in my pants.